What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of Fly Conversations, hosted by yours truly, Mel. So in this episode, I actually want to get into my story, a little bit of my story about becoming a pilot. If you guys are thinking about it, have visited the discussion somewhere with your friends or whatever. So as a novice pilot or a beginner pilot, so if you've been listening to the previous episodes, I believe I mentioned it, that I recently attained my private pilot license, which is like the basic license, right? Actually, May 1st. So I'm going to just give you a brief little background about why I did it and how long it took me. And was it expensive? Did I have a private instructor or did I go to a flight school? So going back, you know, I've been in aviation for a while now. I got my airframe and power plant license in 2006. I was 18 when I got it, and now I'm 30. And you know, I've been fixing them, so I figured, shoot, if I'm fixing them, I might as well fly them too, right? Just to kind of complete the circle, just kind of bring everything together, because there's certain things that, as a mechanic, you don't understand, you know, the pilot perspective, and there's certain things as a pilot that they don't understand from a maintenance side. So I figured I'd just complete the circle and just get it done. So one day I was working in Atlanta here last year, maybe late 2016. I met a pilot working the aircraft, and he was talking to me. He said, "Hey, man, you know, you're a young guy. You know, there's a big pilot shortage." That's another thing. Big pilot shortage. A lot of guys are retiring and they're trying to fill in the blanks for, you know, those missing slots. And, you know, he told me, "Hey, you know, you might want to think about it." I said, "Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it for a while. And, you know, yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot." So, you know, we exchanged numbers, and I was texting him, and, you know, I finally hit him up one day like, "Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's go for it." A pilot by the name of Dave Buck. And he actually put out a blast on Facebook, said, "Hey, you know, give me a second, give me like a day or two. I'm put on a blast, you know, put out a blast on Facebook and see, you know, who may be interested in doing some training." And my instructor my current instructor, Mr. Glenn Fink, actually responded and said, "Yeah, you know, I can train him." And if you ever heard the term CFI, CFI is certified flight instructor. Okay, so Glenn ended up being my CFI for my pilot license, and I want to say my first flight was January of 2017, so over a year ago, and that's my first flight, you know. So, you know, I met up with Glenn, we kind of did like an introduction, and, you know, he had an airplane, and, you know, he took me up. And, you know, it was fun. You know, I've been up before, but now, you know, the mission was different. Before it was kind of, you know, for leisure purposes. Now it was like, okay, yeah, I'm actually trying to do something with this. So we went up for about an hour. We landed and, you know, he looked at me and said, "Okay, so what do you want to do? You know, you want to do this or, you know, you don't want to do it?" So I told him, "Yeah, I want to do it." And, you know, we made that agreement that day. And, you know, I kind of, you know, it was actually based off of availability. And I got my license. So I started flying January of 2017, and I just got my license May of 2018. So the journey was fun. You know, in between all of that, you know, there's some requirements. You need, you know, 40 hours of total flight time, 20 hours with your instructor, 20 hours by yourself. And that's a big thing, let me tell you. So, you know, while you're training, you know, he's having you do this and do that, and you're learning, you know, how the airplane operates, you're learning some aerodynamics, you're learning maneuvers, you know, learning how the airplane responds to your inputs, you know, learning how the engine responds to your inputs, and, you know, landings. I mean, for the first how many hours, all I was doing is just, you know, circling and landing, or in the pattern, if you will, for the proper terminology, basically taking off, making a series of turns and returning right to the same runway I left from. And, you know, just trying to get the landings right. And so fast forward, you know, one day I'm out there with Glenn, and you know, we're practicing landing. It's a beautiful day, gorgeous day. Sun is shining, little wind, you know, I mean, and I'm sticking these landings, just sticking them. And, you know, he tells me, get off the runway, let's talk about it. So I'm thinking, okay, that's, you know, that's it. And then he gets out. I'm like, hey, where are you going? And he goes, well, you know, I think that you're, you know, going to be all right on your own. Well, at this time I had my student pilot, you know, student pilot certificate, which you would need in order to, what we call solo or fly by yourself. So he had me go up and I took off, and it's a very interesting feeling. And that feeling of, you know, having somebody next to you the whole time, I mean, for hours, talking to you in your ear, you know, correcting you, letting you know you're doing something stupid, letting you know you're doing something right, to, you know, now I'm running down the runway and the wheels come off of the ground and I look next to me and there's nobody there. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, I'm really up here by myself. And that was the first, you know, feeling that I got as a pilot, like, you know, exhilarating feeling. And, you know, it was like a rush. And, you know, you feel all this responsibility because, I mean, you're up here. I mean, you're really flying this thing. There's no, you know, it's not like driving a car where, you know, if you have a problem, you know, engine starts smoking or something like that, you can just pull over. It doesn't work like that. So I actually did a three takeoff and landings. And, I mean, they were good. I actually have them on video. He actually recorded them for me on my first flight. So, you know, that was pretty dope. It's a dope feeling. You know, you really feel like you're doing something, if you know what I mean. But, and then fast forward basically, to, also involved in that, getting your private pilot license, you have to do these flights called cross countries, and basically it's a flight over, I believe it's 50 nautical miles. Okay, so it's pretty far, not that far, but far out. So you'd have to go, you know, land at an airport. Sometimes you can do a combination, land at two, and then come back. For my long cross country, one of my long cross countries, I actually went to Tuskegee, Alabama. From Atlanta, and that was pretty cool. They had a museum there, Moton Field, which is like a historical field where the Tuskegee Airmen used to practice and train out of. So that was pretty dope. They have a nice little museum there that I checked out, and then I headed back. So cross country is a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, you got to have your ducks in a row and paperwork straight, and, you know, make sure you don't run into weather, you know, along the way. And, you know, so that was an experience, if you will. And then fast forward to basically my check ride, which was, you know, less than a month ago, for my license. And so with all that being said, you know, you may be thinking, well, why the hell did it take so long? You know, does it usually take that long? You know, so you're talking, you started flying in January and you just finished up in May. That's a long time, right? So the reason for me, at least, right, so this is, you know, my experience, the reason for me why it took so long is because, you know, so I had a private instructor, okay, so I didn't go to a flight school, if you will, right, because there's some flight schools out here, but that's not the route I took. I had a private instructor, and, you know, I kind of went through, you know, my hours when I could, because, you know, being also an instructor for my normal 9-to-5, if you will, you know, sometimes I'll be out of town and I just couldn't fly. You know, spending 2 weeks in LA, or, you know, a week and a half in Minneapolis, and I was in Salt Lake last year. You know, there's a lot going on. So it wasn't easy for me. And, you know, I just kind of had to, you know, deal with it. So, I took my time doing it. Some people can get it done in like less than a month, but you're flying all of the time, you know, so it's all relative. So, you know, fast forward, that's my experience. And it's been a blast. It really has been an experience. And, you know, to be able to call myself a pilot now and be able to take friends up and family members is actually pretty dope, you know. And, you know, people who I grew up with, you know, you know, I was always like the aviation guy out of the group, right? Always kind of, you know, the guy who was in the airplanes and stuff like that. So now I can share the experience on another level, you know, like, hey, this is what I do. You know, why don't you come up for a flight, which is, you know, pretty cool. And yeah, so that's been a pretty fulfilling feeling. Also responsibility, man, you know, to know that, you know, I can grab an airplane right now and go up and, you know, fly around and do some, you know, do some flying and sightseeing. That's pretty dope. Now, with that being said, you know, some limitations I have on my license. So private pilot license, going back, you know, I mentioned it was, you know, it's basically a basic license, right? You got to start somewhere. Okay. So with this license, I'm not allowed to fly for money, if you will. Okay. So basically, if I wanted to take a friend, he's like, hey, man, you know, I want to go to Savannah, you know, out of the Atlanta area for some seafood. I'll give you $200. You know, I'm not able to do that. And it is what it is. You know, I have to get more qualifications or more ratings before I'm able to do something like that. Also, if you didn't know, with your private pilot license only, you have to stay out of the clouds, basically. I can't fly in clouds, you know. So if you're on a commercial flight and you're above the clouds, and as you're coming through the clouds, right, you can't see, you know, you have no visual, if you will. Okay, I'm not allowed to do that because my license is a VFR license. When I say VFR, I mean visual flight rules. I have to be able to see where I'm going, okay? The next step would be instrument flight rules or instrument rating, which would allow me to fly in the clouds, okay? And there's a big difference between the two, you know? Being able to look outside and see where you're going versus not being able to look outside and see where you're going, that's a big difference. You know, it's forcing you to use your instruments in the airplane to navigate, if you will. Okay. So I do have some limitations. Now let's cut to the chase. If you're wondering, how much money does it cost to get your private pilot license? And that all depends, you know, that really all depends on location. You know, I can talk about New York because I've lived there. I haven't flown in New York, you know, as a pilot, but I've lived there. I've asked around and it's very expensive. But down here, to get like a private pilot license from a private instructor, and that's all going to be based on, you know, how much you're paying an hour, you know. So let's say, you know, for example, let's say it's $150 an hour plus gas, which is going to be another fee, and then plus the instructor time, you know. So, I mean, you could be looking at possibly, you know, $190, $200 an hour, you know. For me, I paid a lot less than that. You know, I actually got lucky. And when people were asking, because that's the big thing, how much are you paying? How much are you paying, right? When you're using a private instructor, how much are you paying an hour? How much are you paying an hour? Everybody wants to know. It's the magic question. See, my deal was, you know, I had a solid amount, and that included gas, the airplane, and instruction. So it was pretty cool. All that was tied together. And when we say, if you ever hear the term, the aircraft, wet versus dry, wet would be with gas, dry would be without. Okay. And they normally have different rates, of course. So you pay for gas, or basically it's included in the fee. All right. And you know, you can get your private license, $7,000 down here, right? In the Georgia area, $7,000. You know, 7.5, somewhere around there, you know, to get your private, and then past that, you know, you have instrument, then you have, that's another rating. Then you would have commercial. That's another rating that allows you to fly for money. And the misconception is, with that commercial license, that doesn't mean that I can now fly for Delta or United or, you know, a major carrier. That just means that I'm able to be compensated to fly. That's it. Right. So it's a lot more simple than what you may think. And then there's multi-engine, right? Because there's some airplanes out here with more than one engine, right? So that's a different rating. Then you have CFI, a certified flight instructor. Okay, that's a different rating. So now you're able to train people, and now you can get paid for it. Okay, so that's a pretty good thing. Then after that, you have something called ATP, or airline transport pilot. And with that, that would allow you to fly for, you know, a carrier, you know, United, Delta, you know, American, what have you. Okay, so there's different levels to it. Just because, you know, I got my license now, it doesn't mean I can do, you know, kind of whatever I want. Okay, there's different limits and limitations. Let's see, what else? Disadvantages. I don't know if there are any disadvantages that I can think of off the top, because, you know, I'm such like an aviation buff and I love being up in the sky. One thing I do have a... you know, you have to have good judgment for sure, because obviously, you know, if the weather sucks, you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to go fly, right? It just doesn't make any sense, right? Especially with only one or, you know, the private pilot license. So, you know, you have to use great judgment. If it's, you know, if it's a beautiful day, but it's a little bit too windy, you know, that's another judgment call, you know. You don't want to go up there, you know, it'll be an uncomfortable flight, airplane blowing back and forth. You know, I've had some bad days being up there, you know, really sweating, you know, airplanes rocking from side to side, you know, it's really uncomfortable. Doesn't feel too good, you know, if you will. What else? Advantages, you know, the advantages is, are, you know, learning something new, because I like to learn, especially about airplanes. You know, based off my what was that first episode where I was mentioning, you know, I'm not really big on school unless, you know, it's something I'm interested in, and you know, it just so happened aviation kind of worked out for me. A disadvantage. Okay, so going back to a disadvantage, it's an expensive hobby. It's a very expensive hobby. Because if you think about it, I'm not able to be compensated to fly until I get my commercial rating. So before that, I got to spend money for my private pilot license, which I did already. The next step would be instrument rating to allow me to fly in clouds, and then commercial. Okay, then the commercial rating, which would allow me to be compensated. Let's say I can go work for a parachute school or something like that, or skydiving, if you will, skydiving school, crop dusting, you know, now I can be compensated to fly. So, I mean, that makes life a little bit better, but you got to spend money to get to that point. So even right now, if I had a friend call me up and say, hey man, let's go flying tomorrow, let's go, you know, flying around for an hour and a half, 2 hours, it's got to be paid, period. You know, that's time and money just like that. So it is a very, very, very expensive hobby. But the cool thing is, I've been doing a little bit of research. There are grants and scholarships that you can apply for to have somebody else pay for it, right? So definitely not a bad idea to do a little investigating, all right? So that's my story. I plan on continuing to get some more ratings. I'm working slowly, working on my instrument rating now, doing the readings first, and then I'll get into the flying portion, and then I'll hopefully either get multi-engine next or commercial. I can do either or. I'll probably go commercial next, and then just slowly, you know, just keep chipping away. So if you got any questions, all right, if you got any questions, don't hesitate to email me at flyconversations@gmail.com. That's flyconversations@gmail.com. And let's talk, you know, DM me. If you guys know my Instagram, Mel the Traveler, DM me, shoot me a DM. You know, I'm usually pretty good with responding to DMs. It may take me a little bit, but I read everything. Trust me. I read every single DM, and, you know, I really appreciate you guys, you know, following the podcast. It means a lot, man. It really means a lot to think about something and put it into action that people actually like. You know what I mean? So that's actually, you know, really dope. The feedback has been incredible. And it's all really thanks to you guys. So hit me up, man. Until next episode, that'll be episode 6. Stay safe, fly straight, and talk to you guys later.